Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, February the 11th. We are having a bit of winter here in the North Texas area. It's 25 right now, and it's going to be like this for several days. We might even get some snow over the next few days. So we've got some scenery that is not normal for North Texas, but it's a good change of pace. I think everybody enjoys changing the weather from time to time. As we like to do, we'll be chatting today with our friend Leslie Eastman. And we're going to be touching base with Leslie, as we usually do in February, on the topic of Valentine's Day, which is something that, of course, is very interesting this year because of the pandemic. Things have changed a little bit. You don't get to go dancing like you did in previous years. So let me say hello to Leslie. How are you, Leslie?
Happy to be with you once again for another fun yet interesting Valentine's Day, Silvio. And I wish you and your beautiful wife, Beatrice, a very, very happy one on Sunday, which is the official date. And I am grateful to be able to wish a happy Valentine's Day to our wonderful audience and take a look and see what the past month has brought.
That's right. That's right. A few things that we'll be talking about, but you're right. Valentine's Day is actually the 14th. That's the formal day, although historically people have celebrated Valentine's Day on the Saturday around Valentine's Day. At least that's the way it's been. And, you know, for us, most times we'll go out like on the Saturday, either before or after Valentine's. This year, of course, Valentine's Day is on a Sunday. So maybe couples will go out Sunday night. But with the pandemic, Leslie, that just changes everything. I mean, you know, no more, I guess you, are there any places where you can go dance other than your home, Leslie?
Quite honestly, Silvio, I've reached an age now where I don't like to go out past like 5 o'clock. So my dancing days are over, and with my wonderful studio shut down because of the pandemic, I can't even go for my Bollywood dance classes anymore. So yes. I'm a little sad, but hopefully things will open up sooner rather than later. I always like to maintain an optimistic position despite all the challenges that seem to be coming down on us.
Yes, no, I agree. And it used to be, I mean, we, like a lot of couples, you know, we would do something for Valentine's Day. We were very fortunate in our area here that our church would have a Valentine's Day dance. And it was an annual event for several years. And it was kind of nice because, you know, you would get to dance and the food was very reasonable, so you could enjoy Valentine's Day in a more traditional way. But now, of course, this year that's all history. But the pandemic has really changed a lot of things, hasn't it, Leslie?
Absolutely, and there's on so many different dimensions. And you know, I think perhaps pandemic has been the brutalization of our constitution, our freedoms, and the complete idiocy of what's being passed out as rational science. And a good example of that is the recent double masking study that has been issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. We can no longer trust any of the experts, and they're, our politicians are seemingly in it to protect their own perks and benefits. And the pandemic's being used to control people's and people's behavior and their responses. And if we were talking about a literal bubonic plague, you know, death on the spot sort of thing, one could, you know, understand the restrictions. But with the treatments that are becoming available and the fact that it only seemingly strikes people who are older, immune system compromised, people who are in poor physical shape or have poor diets, they're more at risk. Mm-hmm. I think what we've done is a lot of damage for no good, no real productive reason. And we have simply, as I'm seeing the data look in, it appears as if this coronavirus is likely to be here to stay. It'll be likely on the order of a flu where it'll come about seasonally. And people who are healthier will tend to overcome it, and those who are not will may succumb more easily. But again, I point out there are new treatments that are available. There's new treatments being developed. We trust the people who are doing the research to help us out, but we should not be shutting down the schools, destroying businesses, nor prohibiting couples from wanting to go out and celebrate their love at some sort of fine dining establishment of their choice.
That's right. No, I think you're right on that. I always felt, and I feel stronger about this now, but I felt all throughout 2020 that this pandemic was politicized with the intention of hurting President Trump. I really, you know, I feel stronger now by saying that, that I think when you go back and you hear all the things that we were told, and then you look back at the damage, we'll be talking a minute about your own governor there in California, but when you look at the damage that has been done to the city of New York, to, let's just call them blue states for lack of a better description, states that really went crazy shutting things down, and now they're like rushing to the other side, you know, saying, hey, we got to get back, we got to open again. When you really see all of that, you really have to wonder how irresponsible some of these elected officials were of basically putting their hatred of Trump over their citizens. I mean, the damage that has been done to New York City, I'm not sure the city can recover in a generation, Leslie.
No, I think pretty much people are done with certain areas of this country, and those include my state of California. So I can't tell you what the future is going to hold, but I do know that the move to working from home, utilizing internet, you know, is and you know, and business and just working, you know, with more flexibility in terms of hours and location is going to be the new trend, and that's just the way it is. And but the, and that was probably going to evolve naturally as the pandemic expedited it. So you know, but people are looking around and seeing that North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, Florida, much more open, much more productive, and still not a significant difference in the number of cases and the number of fatalities compared to those that are more restrictive. So people are beginning to see after a year of collecting data, making observations, that certain lifestyle choices are better in other states and are making their moves accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Texas, for example, where I think we were pretty responsible and how we dealt with this. You know, right now, you know, you can go out to eat. Now, there are limitations. Some places, I think, are 50% or 75%. But overall, I mean, there's a lot of, I would think, things are not normal like they used to be, but maybe 50 to 75%. You can do a lot of things you used to do. That's what I'm trying to say. And if you look at our health situation, you know, we're not doing that badly. People are incredible. Well, I shouldn't say this because I always expected people to care for themselves. But, you know, you see people taking care of themselves, acting responsibly, putting on a mask if they're going to go out, you know, maybe washing their hands or whatever. But people are being responsible because they don't want to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. But at least it keeps the economy going. I mean, I look at Michigan, and I look at New York, and I look at New Jersey, and I'm going, you know, even Maryland, And you look at these states and you go, my goodness, what have we done to small businesses in many of these places? I mean, it's just devastating what we've done. And it was all, I can tell you now, more stronger than ever, it was all done to hurt President Trump. That's all that it was. I really believe that, Leslie. And it's a shame that it was that way, but I believe it was, Leslie.
You know, as the evidence rolls in, there really is no overarching explanation that explains the data points as well as that one does. And that's all I'll say. But, you know, Trump is now, I consider him president in exile, but he's not in charge anymore. It's Zaiden. And Zaiden and his CDC with the double masking dictates that are being mocked online. Zaiden, who is going to impose travel mandates and restrictions, despite the fact he's now, I believe he's now in Delaware instead of Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. quote-unquote looking for things to help pack up for the new house. And it's just the level of hypocrisy with what our leaders do in the context of what they tell us to do is astonishing. And I think you'll note our Governor Gavin Newsom is suffering badly from one of his poor choices in hypocritically dealing with social distancing and public action mandates.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to talk about your governor in a minute, but I wanted to ask you one more question about Valentine's Day and pandemics. I remember a few years ago we did a show about the Spanish flu, and I don't remember now if we talked about, you know, the impact that it had on Valentine's Day, because it was not a show about Valentine's Day, so I don't remember.
No.
But back then,
might have been one of our Halloween shows.
Those are the topics I agree. Yeah, exactly. But I'm wondering, you knowing as much as this stuff, as you know so much about this, back in the days of the Spanish flu, and I realize that society was a little different 100 years ago than it is now, but were people restricted back then to go dancing and to go out? I mean, because my knowledge is that government did not get involved at all in telling you what to do 100 years ago. So do you recall that?
I must admit that is knowledge. I would have to look it up. What I believed happened, there were certain public events that wouldn't go on. Like they canceled parades and they shut down their theaters. So they shut down just congregations of you know, things that weren't religious, that were like public theaters, parades, that sort of thing. And there was some discussion of whether masks were good or not. And I believe I've seen a newspaper article indicating that the masks were ineffective for dealing with the Spanish flu. What was more effective was fresh air and sunshine. They discovered when they pulled people outside who had the flu and got them fresh air and sunshine, they tend to recover much more rapidly and much more robustly. And it was a couple of seasons, a couple of years, 1918, 1919, where you saw the flu effects. It was a relatively new strain that nobody really had any immune memory from. So that's why it was a hit. It did cause a significant cytokine storm in young adults, which has damaged their lung system. So that was part of the problem. So there's a lot of dynamics there. It was serious, and again, on par with this. But it was determined masks weren't effective, and they only really limited, you know, public events, but that were not religious in context. And that was not widespread, and that was mostly in the big cities. So
each
region got to decide locally what suited that population best. And again, in 2 years, they recovered from this. I would hate to think that, you know, in 2022, so that would be essentially 2 solid years, we're still forced to wear masks and still forced to social distance, when it's clear that none of these events are really stopping anything much.
Yeah. Well, it's just fascinating. I just remember, I'll just say one more thing about the flu, and then we'll talk about Governor Newsom. I just remember a couple of things about the Spanish flu. Some of the photos that you see from back then, it seems like nurses would be wearing a mask, but I don't remember a lot of people in public wearing them. And the other thing that I remember is reading something that President Wilson, who was president back then, there was no official statement from the Wilson administration about the Spanish flu. There was never a memo or a statement or anything that he said about it. So I don't know. I just, for whatever it's worth, I just mentioned that.
Well, yeah, it was the good old days before the Americans, especially through the education system, were taught to the federal government was going to be the solver of every single problem. So there's that. Wilson was a Democrat, so there's that component. And I will point out that when you see healthcare professionals, they're not wearing masks. They're wearing respirators. And respirators are a level of professional equipment that are specifically designed to keep our frontline healthcare workers from getting infections from aerosols and particulates. So, yes, when you put on an N95 mask, there is an enhancement there that I strongly encourage anybody who's in a professional setting with a higher level of exposure than routine. That's not what I'm commenting on. The commenting is on the cheap masks, the masks that come out that are essentially, I call them the bloodletting and leeches of the modern era, something that is supposed to help. But, I'm extremely skeptical, and I remain so.
Yeah, well, I know that you see a lot of masks these days, and they're fashionable. You know, they make a statement when, you know, somebody has their favorite sports team on a mask. You know, the other day I saw some kids at church that had Disney characters on the mask, so people are having fun with it. I, like you say, though, I'm not sure how much they are doing to actually protect themselves. Let me take a little break, Leslie, and then when we come back, we'll get into the recall. We'll get your thoughts on impeachment, and you also wrote an article about the L.A. district attorney. I want to hear your thoughts about that. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with our friend Leslie right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Just a quick promotion here. The music that we play on the show is the music of Carlos Geddes. We've been playing that for quite some time, and I just saw a note the other day from Carlos that he's going to be playing at Café Madrid, which is a very popular place here in the Dallas area. So I'm delighted to see that things are getting back to normal and a good old Carlos can go out and play that good music that he lets us play on the show. So good luck with Carlos, and if you go see him on Friday night or Saturday night, make sure you tell him that I said hello. He's wonderful. The music is great. You love the music, don't you, Leslie? The music that
Absolutely.
We play. Isn't it great? He plays, he just has this wonderful, he's from Venezuela, so he, I guess he brings a little Latin flavor to it, which is fabulous. I'm so happy to see that Carlos is once again playing in public, which is a sign that good things are coming back. Well, everybody knows you as a contributor to Legal Insurrection, and that's how you make a lot of friends and a lot of fans, and probably a few enemies. We all do that when we write, I know. But,
I'm a real target on that site for some of my opinions.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I mean, I think when you touch on many subjects that probably, you know, a lot of people, you know, agree or disagree with, and that's fine. But let me begin with California, because there's a recall underway out there, and many of us are hearing about it, and I'm not exactly sure how the recall works. I know there was a recall many years ago with Gray Davis, Governor Davis, But so how does it work, first of all? And what do you think about it? Will he be recalled, Governor Newsom, that is? So let me hear about it, Leslie.
Let me put it this way. I'll start with the recall process and tell you what's going on. So the recall process is that you have to have a certain percentage of voting citizens sign a petition saying, basically, we want a do-over. The governor was not as promised. Wasn't living up to promised expectations to the point where it's hurting the state, and we'd like an opportunity to vote him out and vote somebody else in. So a recall vote, if the petition signatures go forward, comes in two phases. There is the recall vote, do you want the governor recalled or not? And then the second phase of the vote is who do you want in place? And if I recall correctly, because it's been a while and I haven't thought about it, this portion of it goes, if you vote on another candidate and the other candidate exceeds 50% of the recall vote, that candidate is the new governor. That is how we got Arnold Schwarzenegger in as governor for several years. So that's how that happened last time. So I have good news for those who follow politics and who are conservative in nature. Apparently, the recall organizers have hit the $1.5 million petition signatures. Their goal ultimately is $2 million, and that is to address the, wrong signatures or problems with the petition. So petition signatures would be tossed out. So they want $2 million to give a cushion. And how you can tell that the vote is likely to happen is both for two things. First of all, the White House is circling the wagon around Governor Newsom. So Zaiden and his team have chimed in, deriding the recall effort. And two, you have now serious Republican candidates making motions to enter the second phase of this, to be on the ballot as a possible replacement for Governor Newsom. What will happen is that the recall vote will occur. People are very unhappy with Newsom. They would like him to change a lot of the pandemic responses, and California should have adopted the Florida policy, and people are beginning to see that redder state distribution and business opportunities and infection rates are doing, at least as well, if not better, than the blue states that adopted restrictive measures. And parents especially, and a lot of the recall is driven by the fact that parents are very unhappy the schools remain shut down, even despite the fact the CDC has said school kids don't really transmit the disease, and school kids wouldn't also be impacted by the disease in any significant numbers. So there's a lot of the fluid dynamics going on. So I'm not sure what happens if candidates don't get 50%. There might be a second vote, and the second vote would be the two top candidates for replacement if Newsom got recalled. Reason I'm thrilled, just if the recall it gets on the ballot, even if it doesn't happen, is that it is damaged. Newsom can no longer be taken seriously as a national level mm-hmm. candidate, and that's good for the rest of the country. So that pulls the plug. And it's also, I think, the first sign about how unhappy the American population is as a whole. And it'll be one of those special elections, which will be a bellwether for the upcoming 2022 cycle. That's kind of my long take. I've been following it on Legal Insurrection. As there are updates, I will have them. And again, we'll be one of the first sites to report that the 1.5 million signature value has been achieved. And the March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, is when the recall petitions must be submitted in full. So when we do the St. Patrick's Day show, which I hope we'll schedule,
sure,
we can do a status check then.
That's right. No, I think most of the country is watching this. He's been so bad, really, Governor Newsom. I'm not talking about I'm not talking from the perspective of a Republican or a conservative. I mean, he's just been a lousy governor. And when you on the COVID, that is, and when you add to that the hypocrisy of him going out to dinner and all of that kind of stuff, I mean, it's that just doesn't play well with people. I think people, you know, we've seen this with other Democrat mayors and politicians and so on who tell you, hey, you're not supposed to do this, and then they go out and do it. So I am kind of rooting for a change in governor. I don't know who would replace him if there was a change, but I think you're right. I think it would be a bellwether as to what happens in 2022.
Yes.
So you
I
were going to say?
I will put my wish out right now.
Yes.
Rick Grinnell, if you're hearing this podcast, and I hope you do, really please consider tossing your hat into the ring. I would love a chance to vote for you, my governor. That's just, please.
Well, that would be wonderful. No, that would be wonderful because if Grinnell is elected governor of California, if he is, that would almost automatically make him a candidate for VP in 2024. So I think that would put him in such a strong political position for higher office. So, yes, I agree with you. I think Grinnell would be a wonderful choice. I agree with that. Well, let's talk a little bit about what we're watching on TV, this impeachment. It's really a farce. I really don't know what else to say. It's all political vengeance. But, I sat down the first day just to see what it was like. And they start out, Leslie, by showing a video of President Trump that day, and then they edit the video. They don't really tell you what the president said. So, I mean, what kind of a trial is that? If that was a real trial, the judge would be pretty angry at the prosecution, doctoring the evidence. So that after that happened, I just kind of turned it off and said, this is a joke. This is not worthy of a great nation, Leslie.
Yeah, I must admit you're braver and stronger than I am. I refuse to watch it. I refuse to give ratings. I am so angry at the American press, not only for the coronavirus coverage, but for the way it's presenting what happened at the Capitol on February 6th and how much what they said on that day was untrue. Lindsey Graham says the impeachment trial will be over on Sunday. And I would simply like to point out that the Democrats are literally acting as judge, jury, and even lawyers, because apparently Trump's defense lawyer insulted Trump and is a Democrat. So they're trying him. They're defending him. Patrick Leahy is in charge of the trial, Democrat overseeing all the results. So this is a farce, and I have no interest in seeing it. And it is a massive distraction from, what actually is happening to the country, both in terms of the pandemic and for China's robust, aggressive reactions on a number of different fronts, and other domestic and foreign concerns. So glad our elite media on both the East and West Coast are tuned in and really excited, and Trump's the boogeyman. But most of us are seeing jobs and, the military hotspots throughout the world, the space race, a number of different issues, and seeing no leadership at any level, just social justice activism and policies that can do nothing but hurt the country.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just wanted to make one clarification. I'm not really watching the trial either. I just sat down the first day because I had an opportunity to sit down, and once I saw that, I turned it off. I'm not really watching I read summaries, but that's about as much as I can take, because I agree with you. I hope that Lindsey Graham or Senator Graham is correct. I hope that this is over by Sunday, because, feel that this is nothing but political vengeance. That's all this is. Leslie, we had two impeachments in the first 250 years of the Republic, and now we've had two the last 12 months. And this second one that was done of President Trump, there was no due process. This thing was rushed through. That's not the way to do it. I mean, impeachment is a very serious thing.
I will literally vote for any Republican who promises to impeach Obama and Biden now. If you run on that platform, I will go out, I will donate, I will support you, because, you know, this is the natural consequence, is that, and I think this is part of the reason we're going to have such challenges in the future. The conservatives now are playing by the Democrat rules, or, you know, stressing that we're responding exactly the same way the Democrats have been. This isn't going to be good, but, it, you know, as we, the July polite, gentle, you know, cordial, you know, conciliatory approach has clearly not worked. We are going to have to respond in an entirely different way. That's, you know, upsetting, but, you know, you can't be, because you don't like somebody's policies, or you can't, don't like the fact somebody has a different approach, going with it's evil, it's racist, you
right.
know.
No, I think you're right about that. Totally. I think if I was President Obama, and definitely President Biden, I would be very concerned about being impeached in a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
because this is this is what you do when you unleash this kind of political vengeance. It'll come back to you in very incredible ways. Now, you brought up something before we get to the L.A. District story that you wrote about at Legal Insurrection. I want to ask you a question. It kind of ties in back to the pandemic and also the Biden policies. The Biden administration has loosened up a lot the border. Now, one of the great success stories, I thought, of the Trump administration was the way they were able to really straighten things out at the border, at least so that it's more orderly, if I could put it that way. And now they've unleashed people coming in. First of all, there's a pandemic, Leslie. Here
mm-hmm.
in Texas, we're pretty angry about it. What are they saying in Southern California about people walking into your state who have not been tested for COVID, Leslie?
There's really not saying much, because the news isn't getting out, Silvio. Our press
okay.
is really – our press now works at the behest of the people in Washington, D.C., and works at the behest of China. And we're hearing very little news about that. I think you could maybe have given me a great idea on a post coming up, considering I follow COVID news for Legal Insurrection,
mm-hmm.
about this particular issue. We're restricted. We have to wear masks, but
mm-hmm.
hey, you're coming in through the border legally, come on in. No worry about getting tested. Oh, and you know, and all the travelers coming in, they have to get tested, but you're legal. No, come on in. No testing required. So, and again, it's another dichotomy, another hypocrisy in how
right.
our policies are being implemented.
Now, I hope you do write about this, Leslie, because I think with your expertise on the pandemic and your overall knowledge of politics, I think it would be a very interesting topic and something I would encourage you to write about. But here in Texas, what they're doing is they come in for reunification. That's the purpose, the unification of families. And they're being
mm-hmm.
held in special places. But the problem is that I know for a fact, and this might be something else you want to mention in your article, Mexico is having a terrible COVID crisis. The situation in Mexico with COVID is 10 times worse than here. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Their healthcare system has collapsed. They're not a powerful country. And they, for example, the vaccine. They don't have enough vaccines. They're barely getting them out. So we're living next to a country that has a lot of problems with COVID. So why would you allow people to come in? It just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's an idea for you to mention.
You know,
it
boggles the mind. If we weren't testing people coming in through the regular means, if we weren't forcing the testing, I wouldn't call it hypocritical, but we are. And
right.
not only that, Biden is seriously entertaining domestic travel restrictions. which means and this is concerning because I have a son in Colorado Springs. I personally
sure.
want to go and visit in April, and I don't want to be stopped from throwing my stuff in the car with my husband and heading on out to for a visit. Especially, again, given just the reality of what this disease is, what this disease does, and all the treatment options and all the ways I can choose to mm-hmm. sensibly protect myself.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. That's a great point. Well, let me bring up an article that you just wrote at Legal Insurrection. There's a real problem in California, this is in Los Angeles, with I guess this guy was just elected as county attorney. I think, is that his right title? I'm not sure. But he has
its little title is Los Angeles County District Attorney. So it's a DA, not for this, just the city, but for the entire county
And
of
his
Los
responsibility,
Angeles.
I guess, is to enforce the law, right? I mean, that's his
yes.
job, right? He's sort of like,
yes.
you know, the Attorney General of L.A., if I could put it that way.
Yes, exactly.
But he's having a lot of problems. And so tell me about it and share the article with us, please.
Okay. Well, here is an understanding about George Gascon. He is ultra-progressive. And a couple of things you need to know is that he had some experience being the DA in San Francisco. And you know what they're like up there. And on top of that, he was funded for his run by George Soros. And the primary thing that Gascon wants to do is imply the law with social justice in mind. What he did, and there were a number of different reforms. He added specific penalties for a bunch of minor crimes. But the big thing was he refused to enforce the three strikes law. That three strikes law, voters went and voted that law in. So if you have, you know, three strikes against you, one strike, two strike, three strike, you're mandated a certain jail sentence depending on the nature of the crime. And so that's a blatant ignoring of state law. And that was very angering to the lawyers who have to work under him. But what's even more upsetting is that he forced his lawyers to read a social justice statement whenever in court as to why they were not applying the three strikes law. So that created such an issue that the union representing those lawyers went ahead and sued him in court, and the judge basically halted a spate of his social justice reforms and said the district's attorney disregarded the three strikes law plead and prove requirements is unlawful. And then he went and struck down a number of different rules that went specifically against California law that Gascon would have to apply. And so this is a good example of the approach that I think Republicans and conservatives who are serious about preserving any sense of what this nation is are going to have to adopt lawfare. And lawfare is not just for Democrats anymore. And I think what you're going to start seeing is more of this. In fact, this brings me to an article that published yesterday. Biden, of course, issued an executive order killing the Keystone XL pipeline, so 14 state attorneys general are reviewing their legal options to stop the implementation of that executive order. I believe there are a number of other executive order challenges. So people involved in politics who are lawyers and are experienced may be one of the few people who are actually have a good business prospects for the next couple of years.
Absolutely. No, that's I kind of get the feeling that a lot of people in California on both sides of the political fence are just fed up with the lawlessness, because that's what unfortunately happens. I mean, it's happening in L.A. and in other places where criminals are getting away with things that are simply unacceptable. You cannot have order. You cannot have business activity. I mean, if people are, criminals are running around and getting away with things. So, I mean, there has to be a certain amount of respect for the law and people willing to enforce it. It cannot all be about social justice. After a while, people say, okay, enough social justice, please. Let's enforce the law so that I can open my business and not have to worry about somebody coming in and stealing from me. Do you see what I mean? I think that maybe people are just running out of patience, both in the West Coast and everywhere else, Leslie.
I totally agree with you, Silvio. You know, I think everybody are, you know, it's like trauma. I mean, it's been very difficult to accept all the events of the past couple of months. But if we just can't sit by and not do anything. So all of us are assessing where we can go and how we can go forward in the new environment with the new understanding of exactly who's issuing all the orders in Washington, D.C. And if anything is to be said about the Trump administration, it's the unveiling of all the dynamics that have gone on for many, many decades.
I agree.
I'll make it clear, the American people and their concerns, not the top priority.
That's right. No, I think you're 100% correct on that. Well, Leslie, that's going to do it for this Valentine's Day show, but we've got Patrick's Day coming up, and we've got a few more coming up this year. But I want to thank you so much for joining me, as
hey,
you
can,
always
can
do.
I,
and
can I do ask one favor?
Go ahead,
before we go.
Sure.
Just a short plug for Legal Insurrection.
Absolutely.
And we may be able to get into this. I think everybody is being inundated with the fact it's Black History Month. And while that's great, there is obviously clearly a lot of concern about critical race theory, critical race training. And Legal Insurrection has launched a critical race training in higher education website. And I really strongly encourage anybody who's interested, especially those with people and kids in high school or who are going to apply to college, check out that website, check out the links. It literally is a website that isn't even an opinion website. It's a database collection website where it tells you about the institutions, what the diversity program is, what the critical race training courses would be, so you can make an informed decision about the type of social justice policies that are associated with the institutions of higher learning. So please, 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 I'll put this plug in for a while. Go to the website. It's featured at the top banner. And it really check it out. And if you can put a couple, you know, pennies, toss a coin to your blogger, that would be just lovely. So we can really keep up the efforts here, because if we can really change the dynamics in our higher education, we can really make a difference in the future. And I think that's going to be an important part of the overall response platform we need to implement going forward.
Well, thank you so much for mentioning that. That's a wonderful thing that Legal Insurrection is doing, and thank you so much for bringing it up. And, yes, I think it's a wonderful thing that Legal Insurrection is doing. This whole question about race has totally been, I think, and we can get into in another show, but it seems like, you know, everybody is aware of what happened in the past, and there were not times in the past when you know, the country was nice with respect to race, but I think it's all being overdone. It's being, how can I put it? It's being exploited, I think, by people who are not really interested in changing. They're not really interested in making the country better. I think they're interested in transforming the country into something that it really isn't the United States of America that we know, Leslie, or the United States of America that I came to as a kid looking for freedom. And that's what worries me about all this social justice talk, Leslie.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's definitely a topic for lots of discussions. And, but the
well,
good
I'll
news
give you
is
a quick
that,
example. But let me just
yeah.
give you a quick example, if I may, just for a second. Tomorrow is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And Abraham Lincoln, of course, is the president of the United States and one of the most consequential men in world history, certainly U.S. history. And here you have a high school in San Francisco changing his name or deleting his name. And I'm saying that's unthinkable. That would have been unthinkable 20 years ago, 10 years ago. And yet this is happening. So something's going on out there where people are doing a lot of foolish things. And it just makes me angry, because if you do not understand who Abraham Lincoln was, you need to start your own country, Leslie.
Yeah, it's definitely gotten very, yes. And again, it's one of those things that is very angering. And you know, it's everywhere, including, and it just, from the big to the small, like the commentary on the Super Bowl team's names, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City
Chiefs.
There was drama and issue with both ones.
I know, and people get all worked up about things that are obviously insane. But Leslie, happy Valentine's Day to you and your husband and your family. And I look forward to our next show, and I'm sure you'll come up with some great ideas. So you let me know when you want to come on, and we'll do it.
Absolutely. As soon as I get some training program set up, I'm going to email you. We'll get a date on the calendar.
Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day, Leslie, and have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Leslie Eastman, our great friend, has been a great friend of our show for years and also a contributor to Legal Insurrection, one of the very best websites in the country. Thank you for listening. And this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.